Well, in the early 1980s, thousands of hemophiliacs were infected by hepatitis and HIV as a result of medication they were prescribed that contained contaminated blood.
If the pharmaceutical companies had aggressively pursued cleaning up their product from the time that they knew that patients were being infected with hepatitis, they would have prevented the transmission of HIV to kids, babies, young men.
That's from the documentary Bad Blood, which examines how 10,000 Americans became infected with HIV. As a result of the alarming statistic, homosexual men have been banned from donating blood since 1983. Well, now there's an attempt to change this policy. A group of senators led by John Kerry, they're petitioning to have the ban lifted. And a federal advisory committee at the FDA is expected to meet today and tomorrow to discuss the possibility of lifting the ban. We're joined now by Marilyn Ness, the producer and director of Bad Blood, which you just heard from there, and also Arthur Kaplan, the Emanuel and Robert Hart Professor of Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania, as well as the former chair of the Advisory Committee to the Department of Health and Human Services Blood Safety and Availability, the group that's meeting today at the FDA from 1996 to 2001. Thank you both for joining us. Dr. Kaplan, let me start with you. This ban was something that you were in favor of back in the 80s, right? But you feel differently about it now. Why have you changed your mind?
That's right, Todd. I think the infection of the hemophiliac community was one of the great tragedies of our times. Could have been prevented. There was culpable indifference by the manufacturers of the blood products that hemophiliacs need. But testing has changed and improved. We can now use some of our knowledge of genetics to identify viruses like HIV that get into the blood supply. It's called nucleic acid testing, and that ability to detect viruses early really is the science now, the state of the art, and I think can protect both hemophiliacs and all of us from infections in getting into the blood supply. So I think the time is to rethink the ban and move to where the science is today.
And we should be clear, Arthur Kaplan, that what we're really talking about is not gay men per se who identify as gay, but risky sexual behavior. And there was a debate for a long time about whether the rules made that distinction. Somebody can be gay but not have risky behavior. Somebody can have risky behavior but not consider themselves gay.
That's right. So unprotected sexual intercourse with multiple partners, seeing prostitutes, there are many things that might put you at risk of transmitting or getting HIV and transmitting it into the blood supply. The trick is to try and screen people voluntarily. Remember, if you don't identify yourself as being in the risk pool, you could get into the blood supply anyway. So it's useful to try and screen out people who are high risk for transmitting dangerous viruses. But our best protection in 2010 is the testing that we have, the much more accurate, much improved testing from the 80s that'll pick up these viruses. Banning people who've had risky sex 25 years ago once doesn't make sense anymore, particularly when we don't have enough blood. We need more donors.
So we're short on blood. Banning people from donating, you think, just lowers the supply line too much. And now that we have testing, we can let more people donate and get more good blood.
That's exactly right. So we are seeing a decline in the number of people willing to donate blood. Actually, the greatest generation, the World War II vets who got used to donating blood at that time, multiple calls for blood in that era, they're dying off. We aren't replacing them, sadly. People don't donate blood. Maybe one in 500 people goes out and does that. And we're at risk now of not having enough blood.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Arthur Kaplan, the Red Cross is saying that, in fact, the supply has dropped to emergency levels. Is this a chronic condition or is this something new?
No, it's been going on since I was chairing the Blood Safety and Availability Committee. It's a real problem. People are worried about, obviously, the quality and safety of the blood supply. But I would tell you the biggest risk we face today is not enough blood, not having it when you have that C-section, when you're in a car accident. Right. It may not be there.
Well, Arthur Kaplan, let me bring in Marilyn Ness, the producer of Bad Blood. Marilyn, you followed four families that dealt with hemophilia and were affected by an FDA-approved blood based on medication that affected them with HIV and hepatitis. Can you take us back to the early 80s and explain just how bad things were then?
Yes, the hemophilia medication, actually from the time it was introduced to market, which is a blood-based medication, was giving 100% of hemophiliacs hepatitis, and this was a known fact amongst the FDA, the drug companies, the doctors. I don't think the patients were as well informed.
100%. Everyone who got the blood was getting infected.
Everyone was getting hepatitis. Everyone was getting hepatitis, and it was viewed as an acceptable risk because hemophilia was such a devastating illness, and without this medication, which many considered a miracle, they were dying young, they were disabled, they were living utterly isolated lives, but this medication enabled them to live nearly normal lives, and so the people that cared for the patients decided it would be an acceptable risk.
So now, Marilyn, draw the connection for me now between that risk that was considered acceptable at the time and now allowing gay men to now donate. What's the bridge there, that more blood will be available for hemophiliacs who need it? Are they in favor of this?
Well, the hemophilia community and all the bleeding disorders community, their big concern is that not the diseases that we know, like HIV and hepatitis, because they were on the front lines of the time when we didn't know about these diseases. And so when HIV first emerged and nobody knew how and why it was caused, the hemophiliacs were the ones who were essentially the canaries in the coal mine and went down first. And so their big fear is introducing new people to the donor pool who might be at increased risk. And they don't believe gay men necessarily are, but that it needs to be studied. They just want that level of protection to be sure we're clear on what the impact is going to be if these donors are reintroduced.
And that's apparently what better testing is supposed to be all about. Before we go, Arthur Kaplan from University of Pennsylvania, you think this will be overturned? You want to handicap it?
I'd say probably 50-50. It's still fearful to many in the hemophilia community that blood supply won't be safe, but I think we do need more blood. I think the science has to drive it, and I think the testing is the key, and we can do it now. So I think it's time, personally, it's time to overturn that ban.
Arthur Kaplan, professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania, and Marilyn Ness joined us, producer and director of Bad Blood, a cautionary tale all about infected blood and the hemophilia community. Thank you both for joining us.